Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello. This is the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, First Thoughts Edition, for the episode Manhattan. And it is February 17th, 2013. And we have just watched Manhattan.
Yes, we have.
So there's a lot of things going on. Mm-hmm. And there were some big reveals that we've been waiting for a long time.
Yes.
And I want to say, when we see reveals that we've been waiting for and some of the stuff they put in there, we've also been waiting for, but not as much.
Mm-hmm. But the anticipation hasn't been as great.
Right. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, that's what that is. Mm-hmm. And I felt that way through some of the episode.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like,
yeah,
okay, that's cool. And yeah, we kind of expected the person that they found to not be Bay. Initially, I thought that it was going to be, they were going to find Neil.
Mm-hmm.
And then Neil would say, no, I'm not Bay for reals. I will help you find Bay. And then they would continue on this trek.
I suspected he was Bay. Yeah. And the only reason I suspected that was because he believed August so quickly.
I thought you didn't, and that's what I told Karen, so I misspoke.
Okay.
And I'm sorry about
that's
that.
That's all right.
Because
I wasn't sure, because I thought that's pretty far-fetched.
Yeah.
But then as things started progressing, I started realizing, you know what, he believed August way too easily.
Yeah.
So
I thought that it would have been fun is when, because it did look like Neil, you know, you can kind of tell even with the promo that you
yeah.
said, man, it looks like Neil. I expected Neil to say, I'm not Bay, but I know where he is.
Mm.
And then we would have kept on. What's interesting, season two and even season one, in a way, mm-hmm. they broke that curse in one season.
Yeah, they did.
And then the different things with Archie Hopper
right.
in the boat. These reveals are getting faster and faster and faster, and you kind of expect them to kind of go on for a while.
Right.
When Catherine was kidnapped mm-hmm. Or disappeared, whatever.
Right.
It took a while
for
that whole
yeah.
thing to kind of get ironed out.
Mm-hmm.
And these things are getting faster and faster.
Yeah, they are.
So, okay. At the beginning of the episode, I found my first kind of thing I had the issue with.
Okay.
So, Rumpelstiltskin came in to Mila, and he showed her his notification that he had been called to the front.
Yes, and he was excited.
He was.
Very excited to
yes.
go.
Yes. And then we did hear, you and I had talked a while back about, I wonder about Rumpel's. I always wonder about all these people's fathers.
Right. And their, yeah, their
right.
background.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And so we did hear him say, my father was a coward and I'm not going to be a coward. So it's mm-hmm. this cyclical kind of thing. Sons never, and daughters never want to be their parents.
Right.
There's always some flaw, problem, whatever.
Right.
And so Rumpel said, I'm not going to be like him. He was a coward. I'm not going to be a coward. I'm going to go fight in the Ogre War, and I'm going to be a hero, if you will, and that kind of a thing. Here's the thing I had the problem with. Mila was not excited about him going.
No.
She was worried.
Well, and I think she was worried for a couple different reasons. She was worried because, you know, it's her husband. He's leaving to go to the front. She loves him. I think she's terrified that he's going to get hurt. The other thing was she was also a little concerned about his father, if I remember correctly. The fact that, you know, your father was a coward and, right. you know, we don't want you to be known for that.
Right.
So I think that's why she wasn't excited, because I think she was afraid he was going to somehow chicken out.
But the Mila that we saw later on in the episode and the Mila we're used to now with the
very
whole...
Very different.
I mean, seriously.
Very different.
That was the biggest leap I've ever seen in a character. And I'm just kind of... I'm a bit overstating it, but I'm just telling you.
Well...
That was the big... I went, really?
You figure she was... It was probably a good 6-7 months.
Right.
Quite possibly 6-7, maybe 8 months that she had to, you know, change her mind.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like it was an overnight thing.
Yeah. Rumpel said, my father's actions, and then it turned out he said he was a coward. I'm not going to be a coward.
Right.
That kind of a thing.
Right.
The place where they filmed New York was in the Vancouver area.
Right.
I believe it's called the Gaslight area.
Okay.
That was the cleanest New York I've ever seen in my life. It was amazing.
Well, supposedly, I haven't been to New York since I was a kid, but supposedly New York's... There's definitely some neighborhoods in New York that are very clean and they're kept that way. I want to say Disney came in and took over Times Square, if I remember right.
Yeah.
And somebody can correct me, I'm sure, if I'm wrong.
No.
Years ago, they did that.
No diss to New York, but anyway, it's just it has a lived-in feel.
Let's put it this way. Any major city, you're going to have some areas that are not quite kept very well.
Right.
And unfortunately, New York is no exception.
Yes, and there was a sign that said Soho, so they really tried to put little things here and there to kind of give it the New York feel.
Well, I thought it was really funny. The sign for the hotel was Warwick Hotel Manhattan.
Yeah.
Kind of like almost like they're trying too hard. So anyway, it was very funny.
And they did have the Empire State Spire in the background of the title. And I think one of the shots did have, you know, the
skyline.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Oh, and it was interesting. It was flipped around now when the Storybrooke's peep arrived in Manhattan. It was raining because a few times when the new people arrived in Storybrooke, it was raining.
Right.
So it was kind of the opposite. And the intro... The second thing I had a problem with is it was very uneventful. Usually the intro is this big thing that kind of, wow.
So let's be really fair. You're talking about the piece that they show before the title card.
That's
and the
right.
title card
yep.
is when they have the blue forest with whatever, right. you know, the image coming in the background. That's the title
That's
card.
That's right.
So before that, usually there's some big thing going on. And this one was really rather uneventful.
Yes.
But it went immediately from the uneventful snippet title card to Emma catching Neil.
Right.
So it was pretty exciting, but it was not before the title card.
Right. I would expect, I mean, obviously the Rumpel Mila section, that was eventful. That was kind of cool. Mm-hmm. But I would have expected her to catch Neil in that opening section, then the title card,
right.
then go on to, you know, Neil, what are you, blah, 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 this and that.
Right.
So
right.
Anyway, my little problem. I don't always do that, but I did have a few problems tonight.
I knew that this one was going to be an interesting episode, if nothing else. It's different than most of the episodes. I mean, I liked it. I thought it was really good. It was just different than some of the other ones we're used to seeing.
Well, we're out of the norm. We're out of Storybrooke, and we're not really in fantasy, you know, the fairy tale land. So it's kind
right.
of, what are we going to expect? So that's, I think that was another thing we didn't know.
Yeah.
So Neil / Bay lived in apartment 407.
Yes.
And then there was the whole, she used the UPS trick and the FedEx. And then Henry said, well, you should have used FedEx. And what was interesting is the father at the first sign of trouble. Now this is kind of, it's been used a lot of times when somebody wants to escape, they go out the fire escape.
Right.
And that's exactly later on. That's what Henry did
mm-hmm.
when he was kind of at his wit's end at a certain section that we'll talk about. So it's kind of funny, father like son. And actually in Broken, he, Neil dropped his iPhone or no, his iPod out the window kind of. Yeah. So anyway, it was all kind of pointing out there. But yeah, I wrote that, is Neil Bay or is Neil the first step to find Bay? And Neil is Bay.
Yes. Yes, he is.
So then the question I ask is, well, okay, August said he would send him the postcard when the curse was broken.
Right.
And Neil just kind of read it, went, oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah, there didn't seem to be much to it. Right. Other than he just knew it was broken. So he, that, well, and the only thing I can think is perhaps at that point he realized, okay, anybody ringing the doorbell is going to possibly be my father. Yep. So.
All right. And I think for now, for sure, the favor that Emma promised Mr. Gold in season one has now been fulfilled.
Yes, it has.
So, and in Lost fashion, they split up the group, of course, because you had Emma, Gold, and Henry.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, when Gold sends Emma off running after this person, and we find out is Neil slash Bay, then the group gets split up.
Right.
And we now find that in the box was not the dagger, nor the drawing of the dagger, nor anything else. It was the typewriter typed, I know you are a balefire.
Yep. That was so epic. Yeah. Because I could not imagine what he could have in there that would actually make Neil believe him. And when they revealed that, I'm like, yeah, that would work pretty well for Balefire. That would work really, really well.
And
by the way, I really miss August.
Yeah.
Really want him to come back. I mean, I love the fact that they had a flashback, well, but by the way, that's not good enough. We need to see August again.
Well, I think the only way that I'm going to ever be spoiler free is to stop following anyone who likes or talks about Once Upon a Time. Because it is tough.
Mm-hmm.
There's stuff flying around all the time about who's where, who's filming what they're wearing, what they look like.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, well, we have spoiler tags. And I'm going, well, then how come I know all this stuff?
Right.
I don't search for it.
Right.
I've gone on Tumblr in about 4 months. Yeah. I don't go there. I don't look around for it. I just run through. And so I've just started to unfollow, you know, certain people that are in the Steveston area.
Right.
I better stop. So anyway, it's hard.
I know.
I can answer your question.
I know you can. Anyway. And by the way, So I'm. Hmm.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's keep moving on.
Okay. So then certain words like coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
Came up and fate and destiny,
yes,
and that kind of thing. And then later on we'll talk about the future and how that kind of fits in. But the point I came up with when Emma was talking to Neil is if they would have stayed together, the curse would not have been broken. Because they would have settled down, for lack of a better term. It probably had Henry, and she would have never gone to Storybrooke.
She wouldn't have known about the curse at all.
Henry would have never.
Right.
That.
Right.
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 So, in a way, it was kind of like Dreamy and Nova.
Right.
The only way that they would have taken care of their part in this whole story would it be to stay apart. You know, she would have stayed a fairy doing her fairy dust stuff, and he would have stayed being a dwarf and doing dwarfy stuff.
Right.
And so everyone has their place, but separate. And then there's the pain of that. It's not a happy thing. It's not a happy ending. It's...
Well, Emma didn't know when she first grabbed him. Mm-hmm. She didn't know the details of why he left her the way he did.
Yeah.
Not sure that even him telling her was much of a consolation to her, but at least he told her and he was truthful. He could have been a big fat liar and said, I don't know what you're talking about. You're crazy, lady. You're crazy, Emma. Right. What are you talking about? What happened to you? You know, he could have done that, but mm-hmm. I think he still loves her. I think he still cares about her. I'm pretty sure she still loves him and cares about him, you know? I do think it was really interesting that the conversation in the bar was, so wait, you knew who I was the whole time. This is all part of your sick plan with your father, blah, 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 blah. I mean, that's kind of crazy and wild when you think about it. And it was interesting that that was where she first went with it.
Yeah.
Because I would have been more like, just why'd you leave me? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have even thought about the whole curse thing. Maybe, I mean, but then again, I'm not her, so, you know.
That was new. The whole understanding who she was and the curse and the magic and all that. So, yeah, I mean, it kind of shifts around.
Right.
But, yeah, there would have been a point in time when, why did you leave me first?
Sure. And
that would have been.
Yeah. And I think maybe because.
Why'd you turn me in?
Right.
All that.
Because it is so fresh in her mind and it is so new to her and she's still getting used to it. I think that's probably why it. And maybe that's what did it.
The subtitle of this episode, it should be Lies, Lies, Lies. Yeah. There's so many lies going on. Everybody's lied to everybody else.
Yeah.
You know. So, Emma lied to Henry.
Yep. Which we knew. We knew. I mean, she admitted that a long time ago to Mary Margaret.
But I'm just kind of, I wrote it down. Every time there's another whopper, I keep writing it down. So we did see the Ogre War, and I guess only Jane Espenson knows, and the producers, I guess this was the first one. I have no idea.
I don't know.
Because Jane did say there were a number of Ogre Wars.
Okay.
So
Rumpel had me at yes, sir. Yeah. Or I mean, actually, before that, at who, me? Oh, he walked out in that soldier's uniform, and I was, that was pretty awesome. It was a really good look for him.
Eduardo Castro is phenomenal.
He is.
And
he and his whole team, by the way.
Yes. What I think is interesting is the whole Game of Thrones thing. There were little tinges of it here and there that I could kind of tell.
A stylized, very, and it just, and it didn't hurt that it looks really good on Robert Carlyle.
She's a fan, ladies and gentlemen. She's a fan. First of all, a blind witch that is a seer. I know that that's been done a lot in books and stories and that kind of a thing. But yes. But I still think it is an ironic story part.
Well, of course it is very ironic, but that's because the fact that they have no eyes,
they don't see things.
Right, because they're not, their vision's not clouded by the temporal and the, you know, what they actually physically see. It's what they can see with their mind's eye. And there are, you know, in Greek mythology, there were the three fates, referred to as the three fates, and they all shared one eye and one tooth. And Perseus basically kidnapped the eye from them and held it ransom until they told him how to defeat Medusa.
Mm.
So that kind of sort of a little bit reminded me of that because they were blind. They couldn't see. They shared an eye. So they'd each put the eye in and they would see who was talking to them and blah, blah, blah. And then they could see stuff. So it was, I mean, I know it's not quite the same, but I know that there have been other references to blind witches and people having being able to see. In fact, actually, in a more modern retelling of a Greek myth is O Brother, Where Art Thou? When the three guys were running from the chain gang and they ran across the rail car, the older African-American gentleman on the rail car who was blind and he was pumping the rail car, and how would he know whether or not a train's coming if he, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was telling them all sorts of things, and he was called the blind seer. So, that's another little, nod to that, I'm sure.
So, Obie's girl.
Uh-huh.
If you're out there, I saw a Pan's Labyrinth, connection.
Oh,
in tonight's episode when she opened her hands and there was the eyeball. Because Obi's girl sent the link to the Pan's Labyrinth, I believe, scene.
Okay.
And it had a creature that opened his hands and had an eye in the hand. So that's the first thing I thought of. And then you were telling me that the Greek mythology with the witches and there were blind witches in Shakespeare and different things. So it's there's been a number of things.
It's not an uncommon thing in literature. So
Emma calls mom when she's in trouble.
Yep.
And it was really an interesting moment. You know, we've seen these two, Mary Margaret and Emma, kind of stumble and walk through lots of different situations, and now they know who they are. And then we have this conversation, you know, and Mary Margaret says, look, are you doing this for Henry or are you doing this for you?
Right.
You need to, you need to do right by Henry and not just think about you. Right. So, and it was just interesting, her calling mom.
Yeah, you know, it was really interesting.
I imagine you had situations where, you know, mom, I'm scared, or mom, I don't know what to do, or what would you do? And
absolutely.
Yeah, so probably not in this. look, Rumpelstiltskin's here, and look.
Yeah, no.
So then Henry had this conversation with Rumpelstiltskin about seeing the future. And so Rumpelstiltskin, you know, because Henry said, well, it's a gift. It must be cool to see things before they happen.
Right.
So that you can know that they're going to happen. He said, well, it's something, it's a gift, but actually it comes
with a price.
It comes with a price. And so in another word, it's a curse, actually.
Yeah.
I think. And so he said the future is a puzzle. And he said that there are parts that aren't filled in.
Right.
And you have to know. And later on, we hear more about that. But it was just interesting that, you know, Yoda said, you know, the future is cloudy and it's, you know, a different thing. So it's interesting, all these different seers that see the future.
Right.
They have... It's not clear. It's not crystal clear. You know, some people say, well, look, you know, I can see the future, but it depends on who does what, you know. So, you know, the whole back to the future, don't change anything because it's going to change the future.
Right.
You know, so it's interesting when you start really kind of thinking about all these different stories that have used this kind of device of seeing the future. But then you put in the human part of it. And free will and time and learning, it's just really kind of an interesting concept.
So. Well, it is kind of like a maze. Yeah. I mean, if you think about it, the future is a bit of a maze. There is an end game. There is a finish line and you will get to it. The question of how you get to it is there are certain points where you don't have a choice. You have to turn around or you have to turn left or you have to turn right. You can't, you know... In a maze, you got to walk through the maze's path, but you have choices and they may take you a roundabout way, but ultimately you end up getting to the end, the finish line. So
Emma lied to Gold.
Oh, big time.
Second one.
Yeah, that was huge.
And, you know, I thought he was going to, you know, cane her or something.
He knew she was lying. Yeah. I mean, right off.
Right.
Because, again, he knew a piece of the puzzle. She didn't realize he knew.
Liars know lies.
Well, that's true, too.
And he was a master of leaving things out and all that. So here's my third thing, I think, on my list of things I have an issue with. So if you are going to hide a map to the location... of the most dangerous dagger on the planet.
Yep.
Why in the world would you write down the number on a card and put it in your purse? Why? Why couldn't you just remember it? It's like a password. Do you write your password and say, this is not my password?
You'd be amazed how many people actually do write their passwords down. All right. Because they can't remember, because they have trouble with that. But the point is it's one thing to have the number and have the book not be there, but then leave the map there? Come on.
Well, you know, obviously it was, you know, the three sleuths, you know,
well,
got the, Regina used her magical power to kind of... basically, in an opposite way, magically dump out her purse upward and then kind of sift through all the stuff.
Right.
And then find the card.
The clue.
With the number.
What was the only thing, the only card that came up? It was an index card.
Yeah.
And she recognized the numbers.
I don't understand.
Because if you think about it, think it through. Why was that so important? What was one of the last scenes of the whole episode? It was Greg Mendel,
right,
who was videotaping Regina doing magic.
All right. Okay, Adam and Eddie, hey, thanks for listening. Maybe you can mention our podcast on your podcast.
That'd be fun.
Just saying. Okay, anyway, so 915.63, which is a Dewey Decimal for a placement in a book on a shelf. Right. And the book wasn't there, but that's where the map was. The map was drawn in a kite formation, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
An old-fashioned kite.
Yeah.
Looking.
Diamond, actual diamond shaped. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I thought that was kind of interesting. And then they.
But wait. Let's think this through. How do we know that's not a trap?
Well, okay. Fair enough.
Because Rumpel is not stupid.
Yeah.
Unless he's
true.
Just so distracted by finding Bay. I think he's very smart, and I think it's going to be some sort of trap. I could be totally wrong. They could find it. They could run away with it.
Good point. No,
but
no, no.
I have a feeling it's going to turn out to be some sort of trap, or it's going to be some sort of thing that's going to... it won't be there because he will have moved it.
Yes. And... all right. So I like that it was a puzzle map thing.
Sure.
And that was cool.
Yeah.
That it wasn't just in the third drawer down in the, you know, whatever. But it was like, no, it's a map. And so that really gives kind of a little, you know, Nancy Drew or Hardy Boys kind of a sleuthy.
Sure.
They got to figure this thing out.
And I love that they had, you know, they're like, well, and these powerful, you know, queens who are witches basically couldn't figure it out by looking at it. They knew it was a map, but they couldn't read it. And then it was, you know, Hook, the pirate,
right,
the lowly pirate who knew exactly what it was and knew how to place it and how to read it.
But we were talking about the beans. If you don't know how to harvest the beans, then you got to get somebody that does
exactly.
to help you. So
exactly.
You know, you got to keep Hook around.
Right.
With all his little innuendos and jokes.
Uh-huh.
Because one day he's really going to come in handy, which is, ta-da,
today.
The map.
But how did she know he was going to be handy for a map? She had no idea.
Well, they use maps to get around.
Yeah,
so,
anyway, it's a stretch. Right. And maybe she assumed that. Maybe that's one of those things where she just kind of, based on what she knew of Rumpel, she just pulled it out of her hat and said, he's probably going to have it written down on a map somewhere.
Yeah.
You never know.
And remember we were talking about Jack, you know, when you travel with sharks, I would say when you travel with magical casting
witches
be careful. Because one day you will run out of your usefulness and then you'll get shoved against books and then they will take off and they don't need you anymore. So
I actually felt really sorry for Hook in that moment, briefly.
I bet you did. That you wanted to comfort him.
I would have liked to have given him a little hug.
Hang in there.
Kiss his forehead and say, it's going to be okay.
This is taking a turn. Okay. I don't even want to go through Henry's family tree. You know,
but I did think it was very
God
funny.
Bless David. He really tried.
I thought it was hilarious that he was actually like trying to talk it through. That was very funny because most of us have talked that through and said, okay, wait a second. So if Bay is his father, then that would make Rumpel his grandfather. You know, it just, we all know who everybody is. It's just very funny that they actually vocalized it on the show. It's very funny.
I didn't know if you heard this phone ringing, but it was Jerry Springer trying to book him for the next show. You have got to come on my show. You come on. This is crazy.
Dr. Phil.
Right, right.
Yeah. I did think it was really funny. He goes, I'm glad we don't have Thanksgiving in our land because that would be really awkward.
Right.
Or one horrible Thanksgiving. I think that would be, that was really funny.
Yeah. Well, in a huge party, we have to introduce people. This is my, okay, hold on. This is my father. I know it's going to just hold, you know. Yeah,
so. My grandfather right. is actually, yeah.
It's like a really bad country song. Anyway.
Yes. Are you? Are we getting to the point of where we saw Rumpel come home from the war? Is that next?
Well, let's talk about this. You know, if you're a coward, you don't do things because you're scared. But to the point where you take a large metal mallet and break your own leg to the point of you have crippled yourself.
Yeah.
That's coward with direction, I guess. Man, that's wild.
See, and that's the funny thing is I don't see that as being cowardly.
Yeah.
Because he was told, and I thought it was real interesting. She told him, you know, you're gonna be a father, and your son is gonna grow up with because of your actions on the battlefield.
The blind witch, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Your son is gonna grow up without a father. And again, because he didn't fully understand what really having all that, you know, foresight and that, you know, advanced knowledge of the future meant, he had no idea what she really meant. And so if he had stayed and done battle, would that have been a different outcome? Would that have been a hugely different outcome? Don't know. So he assumed he was dying. And so to me, that wasn't cowardly.
Yeah.
That was actually incredibly brave and incredibly, like, just hotter than hot because, again, one of the sexiest things a man can be is so in love with his wife and child, he'll do anything for them.
Mm.
That is just beyond hot. Sorry, I'm just saying.
I love you. I don't know if I'd break my own leg. But
well, I wouldn't want you to, frankly. But I'm just saying the passion that is
right.
behind that action, that's what's hot. And so to me, that made him not a coward, actually. It made him quite the opposite of a coward. It made him ridiculously brave and
right.
very passionate.
Yeah.
Because if he was a coward, he would have just run off. He would not have broken his own leg. Because he knew the only way to legitimately get out of fighting
right.
was to be incapacitated.
I am old. I don't watch this show all the time. But when one of the men in the camp said, "A horse, of course," I thought of the Mr. Ed song. So anyway.
Yes, which is very funny.
That's the corny joke of the people saying, well, you have corny jokes all the time.
Well,
that's the one I'm going to
mess
up.
Because again, the blind witch said, when you see the men riding cows, she
yeah.
knew the word cows. She didn't, she thought, and of course mm-hmm. she said it, and Rumpel assumed actual bovine livestock, not saddles.
Right.
So you figure, yeah, again, that's the whole point is interpretation of the future sometimes is ambiguous. And you would, most people would think that because in a, especially this is really hitting home right now is, "Oh brother, where art thou?" The seer said, you will see all kinds mm-hmm. of miraculous things and overcome many obstacles. And one of them was, you know, cows on the roof.
Right, yeah.
You know, and they were like, "You're mm-hmm. crazy. There's no way a cow's going to get on the roof. There's no way a cow." He's crazy. And then, sure enough, because of the flood, there was right. a cow on a roof.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't. You know, they didn't envision their vision of what he said was completely different than what really happened. So, anyway,
true. All right, so. Dun, 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 dun. I have a connection and I have something that I saw that I don't think many people will catch.
Okay.
So when Emma and Gold were yelling at each other and fighting about, you know, Neil and Bay and where is he and tell me what you know, Emma told Henry to
go to the bathroom.
Wait in the bathroom.
Right.
And the first thing I thought was in the pilot, mm-hmm. when Henry came to Emma's apartment in Boston and she really hit this freak out wall when Henry said, I'm your son and I want you to come back to Storybrooke. And when he's talking to her, she just freaks out and she says, give me a minute. And she goes into the bathroom, shuts the door to try and just get it. And there's so much clear going on in her mind. And I've always thought that that was interesting because maybe the safest place that she felt was that wardrobe. And maybe feeling closed in really was the most secure she felt.
Wow. That's really good. Yeah.
Because that's the first place she went to.
Right. Right. Safe haven.
So like mother, like son, that's the first place she told him to go. And so, yeah, you've heard it here first. And
yes.
So we'll see.
Yes.
If anybody else.
Are we talking about Rumpel going back to back to Mila? Is that coming up?
Yes.
Okay, good. I just don't want to miss it. Yep. I want to make sure we talk about that.
So now the 180 degrees turn with Mila, she was like upset, obviously, and we're used to that now because she's said that a number of times.
Right.
I wanted you to fight. I want you to die.
Die with honor.
Right.
Because I'll be fine without you. Because at least your son won't be, you know, the son of a coward.
Yeah, the family name and the family, you know, the mistakes of the past are showing on you. Right. Yeah.
Your father's reputation will be broken.
Yeah.
So, no, what I was really getting at was, and of course, you know, my little swoon moment was when she basically just dropped the baby in his arms and went out to fetch a pail of water. I thought she was going to leave at that point.
That's what I thought, too. I thought she'd picked up her things that she had kind of packed and left.
It looked like she was just getting a pail for water, going out to the well to get water. Yeah. But the fact that he was holding the baby, just Robert Carlyle was amazing in this episode once again. But the look on his face when he looked at that baby and the baby reaching up and putting his hand on his face and making those noises was just like, it was just, heart-stoppingly adorable. And that was just, you know, that's the moment he fell in love with his son. You know that is. Mm-hmm. And so for him to, you know, sit there and have this conversation where he promised he would never leave him was just gut-wrenching because he broke that promise.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. It was a beautiful moment.
So then after that, I wrote the word lie because I was going to write lie, comma, lie, comma, lie, comma, lie, comma, lie. It's just lying everywhere.
Yeah.
Everybody was lying.
Yeah.
And then I wrote, Henry will run back to Regina because I think, I mean, when he said, you lied to me, Regina lied to me all the time, too.
That was that whole conversation where he wanted to know, he came out and said, Mom, and that's when Neil said, who is this?
Yeah, yeah.
And then she very quietly said, my son. Mm-hmm. And then he said, is he my son?
I
how old are you? That was that huge conversation.
Yeah, give me 2 seconds and we'll jump into this.
Uh-huh.
Before he said to Emma, you lied to me, my mom lied to me all the time. I thought that he was going to say, well, when he crawled out the window,
I thought
he was gone. I thought he had picked up a credit card or something, going to go back and be with Regina. So that's why I wrote that. But obviously that did not happen.
No, it didn't.
Now, so let's talk about that scene. There was enough accountability in that room that nobody could lie really anymore.
Right. No,
because
it was like,
come on. Because I thought initially she was going to go, this is my son and you don't know the father. And I think Goldwyn went, come on. And then he would have said, how old is he? And then they would
have. Right. Yeah. The fact that he just asked him how old he was. And then she's like, don't say a word. Don't answer him. Right. And then when Henry took the reins and said 11, mm-hmm. the look on Neil's face was like, oh my God, this is my son.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really intense moment. And Gold in the background, all of a sudden realizing Henry's his grandson. Because Gold didn't know that before.
Mm-hmm.
So for him to recognize that Henry is his grandson, that has to be really gut-wrenching too. He had a really sweet moment with him earlier, you know, when they bought him the hot dog and stuff, which was really kind of fun. And but the fact is now he's got to deal with the fact that Henry is his grandson. That's pretty crazy.
We talked about Lost and the group splitting up and all that. And one of the things when the group splits up, they learn different things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they choose whether they're going to share it with the rest of the group when they come back to
it. Right.
Mm-hmm. So throughout Lost, there was all these different things they saw or information that they found out.
Mm-hmm.
And they could make a decision whether they could lie or whether they could just not tell anything. The rest of the people
leave pieces of the puzzle out,
right, the omission. And so the same thing here is now all that kind of stuff is now coming home to roost. All those years of not telling, not saying, not whatever,
right?
And it was all starting to crash down on everybody's head, and they're the bombshell, the grandson, and all this. It's
right.
Like all these different things. So,
well, and then when Henry went out onto the fire escape and he sat there and she went out there to talk to him, and the whole conversation that they had, you know, he said, you should have told me, I could have taken it.
The truth.
Yeah. You should have told me the truth.
Tell me the truth.
Right. That's all he ever wanted from her was the truth. So the fact that Emma did lie to him thinking she was protecting him, which is funny because remember at the beginning, you know, that whole thing of when he had the conversation with Gold, you know, look, I was happy. I was all excited to see my mom. And, you know, the circumstances were less than, you know, pleasant when we, you know, parted company. And he goes, yeah, but you know what? The fact that you came here to find him, that's all that's going to matter. Well, the funny thing is Henry then turned the tables and was really mad at Emma and didn't forgive her right then and there because she was protecting him, which is what she did when she gave him up. He even said, I forgave her for giving me away because she thought she was doing the best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, you know, 10, 15 minutes later, here she is explaining to him that, you know, she lied about who his dad was because he was kind of a bad guy and he was a thief and blah, 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 blah. And Henry won't forgive her for that.
Yep.
So it's kind of an interesting little twist. Again, yet another lie.
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right. So the dagger is power over someone else unless you
kill them.
Kill them. And then it comes into you, that power.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, you know, we've seen in Lost where a being will task someone else to do the bidding of killing somebody else so that a person doesn't kill, but they get someone else to do that for them.
Right. You're referring to when the smoke monster convinced Ben to kill
Ben
Jacob.
To kill, right.
Yes.
And
because he could not, he was not allowed to kill him.
Right.
So, yeah.
And so, you know, I always thought it was kind of a tip of the hat to Lost, but then I'm jumping ahead a bit. But when the Blind Witch started to kind of reveal more and more in the future to Rumpelstiltskin, mm-hmm. she said, you will not break the curse. You will not. All these things that he would not do. So in a way, he was powerless.
Right.
He knew the future.
Right.
But there was no action that he could control it.
He himself could do. Right. He could not do anything physically himself. He had to get other people to do it.
So that falls in line with the whole dagger idea that it controls someone else to do certain things so that Cora could kill Snow, Henry, Charming. Emma, Snow, Charming in one fell swoop, let's say. And not come back on Cora or Regina.
Right. Because they weren't the ones who did it.
They would get off scot-free, and it's like, no, that was you know, Rumpelstiltskin, you know, that was gold.
The dark one.
The dark one.
The dark one did it.
So we see that way back, it was this kind of, these things are going to happen, but you have no control and you just have to wait. You have to write names on list.
Right.
You have to wait. And once you see them, then they will, you know, you can kind of nudge certain things. And then that whole thing about him working with August, remember mm-hmm. all that stuff
yeah.
to get people to do what needed to be done. You know,
yeah.
he had to use other people to kind of get the right person to do the thing to keep things moving.
Which knowing what we know about him now and the fact that we know that the Blind Witch gave him her powers of seeing the future.
Right.
Which we already kind of knew that was the capacity that he had. Now it makes sense to me why he would ask Archie, who owned these things? Did you write the names of the paper? Remember from back,
right.
way back
mm-hmm.
in, I mean, season one,
yep.
his episode,
mm-hmm.
where he requested that he write down who owned these things because that was how he was going to control them and get them to be the pieces of the puzzle that he needed to fit.
Mm-hmm. All right. I just wrote down, no one takes responsibility, when I was just thinking about the whole idea that no one really acts to do something. Is it they all need something from somebody else or they need someone else to do it for them?
Yeah.
It's a rare occurrence. It's probably somebody's probably saying, wait, no, I remember one time when, okay, it's probably a rare thing, but most things
right.
come from somebody else. So,
right. Somebody else is doing the bidding, like we just said.
So what do we call this guy? I'm going to call him Neil. That's how we know him. But he's also Bay.
Right.
Thanks, guys. Thanks, Eddie
mm-hmm,
and Adam. Appreciate
mm-hmm,
it.
Mm-hmm.
So Neil says he got 3 minutes and to, you know, talk. And they said the clock's ticking, so another reference to time. And if you've seen pictures of his apartment, there's clocks everywhere. There's
yep.
also microphones and all this type
well,
of
Well, and there
stuff.
Were lockers.
Yeah.
Lockers was how he kept his storage, which was interesting because that's exactly the whole point of, you know, how he and Emma ended up splitting up in the first place. He kept the dream catcher that they had.
Yeah.
So, and there's definitely, you can see that there's definite connections to Emma and the fact that he still loves her.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold on to that because I'm pretty sure that's the case.
So we talked a lot about a lot of different things in this show. And that's, I think that's one of the greatest things about it is they can kind of fit in subjects that give people to discuss things. Lost was great at that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've discussed adoption. We've discussed who's the mom. Is it the adopted mom? Is it the birth mom?
Right.
Who is whatever? But now we get to discuss father abandonment. And that's something we really haven't talked to. I mean, you know, look, it's one thing to say, oh, well, in the fairy tale world, you know, Rumpelstiltskin let go of his son and all that. But now we see in the real world, the son looking at his father and say, you left me. You know, and then Gold says, no, wait, you know, come back to my land. There's magic and we can, I could fix it. I can turn back time and, you know, and he said, no, stop using magic to fix problems.
Right.
I am who I am, but I'm mad at you. You left me.
Yeah.
And that's a huge, huge subject. That's a huge thing.
It is.
And
it was very heart-wrenching, again, to listen to Neil say, do you know what image goes through my head before mm-hmm. I go to sleep?
Yep.
For more years than you can count? Wow. That was pretty tough. You know, the image of his father letting his hand go. That's, ugh, my gosh.
You know, I mean, we've touched on things about mothers and daughters and the relationships and the stress and all that and, you know, adoption and this and that. But look, man, divorce is probably more than 50% now of marriages.
Oh, two-thirds. It's been two-thirds
yeah.
for years.
So, I mean, you know, now you're touching on a nerve that I wear, a lot of guys wear,
mm-hmm.
you know, divorce.
Well, two-thirds of people out there have been impacted by it some way or another, and either have gone through it themselves or are closely...
Products then go through it.
Right.
You know, and then you say, it's never going to happen to me. Okay. Anyway, But that's why I love this show. It's relevant. It's not just some pie out there weird fairy tale story, but there's real themes, real things going on. So they had their conversation, and he turned away all this, you know, magical stuff.
Oh yeah,
he said, "I'll turn you back to 14. You can be 14 again." He goes, "No, I don't. No." You know,
lose who I am? Are you kidding me? No. What I thought was interesting is, after all this time, as smart as, you know, as brilliant as Rumpel is, and as much of a master manipulator as he is, he just completely missed the boat. The whole reason Bay didn't want to have anything to do with him in the first place was because of magic.
Right.
That's what soured him against his father in the first place.
But did you realize one thing? And I can't remember when it exactly happened. But the thing that he hated, and that's my word, Rumpelstiltskin for doing to him, he did to his own son. But he didn't realize it at the time. Mm. But he did the exact thing.
Yeah.
He wasn't in his life.
Right.
And so, you know, it was cool when they had that time later when they were... You know, say, let's not do this again. Let's not do what was done to me.
Right.
Let's start now. Let's somehow work it out. So, you know, I thought that was cool. The one, you know, the one line that it hit me. I mean, it was a strong line. He said, you know, I remember you letting me go, and now I'm letting you go.
Mm-hmm.
So the power's on me now. I am letting you go. Yeah. Wow. I mean,
that was pretty. That was pretty.
And he said, "Time's up." Time's up. That's it.
Yeah. He gave him 3 minutes, and he really did. He really counted the clock on that. That was really kind of crazy. Which is really sad because that means he already had it in his head. He wasn't going to listen to anything he said.
Yeah.
He just did it out of a courtesy and a favor to Emma, I think, more than anything else. Because again, Rumpel brought up, "Hey, you want to help her fulfill her deal with me?"
Right.
The deal was to get you to talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
So let that at least happen. And then she'll be, you know, so again, Neil wasn't interested in listening to him at all. He really wanted to fulfill the thing for Emma because, again, he still loves Emma. Here's a little side. I just want to do a real quick little sidestep because this just popped in my head. So I was thinking back to the fact that, you know, what was on the typewriter? I know you're Balefire. How did he know?
True. Good point.
I would love to know how August knew that he was Balefire.
We will probably find that out. So
I hope so, because that'll be real interesting to see how they're going to pull that one off.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to throw that out there as, hey, that's now my burning question. How did August know he was Balefire?
Right. We see a second kind of room off to the side of Neil's apartment. I didn't see that before, because there's like a
kitchen,
sleeping
perhaps?
Room. No, there's a sleeping room off to the left. Yeah. Bedroom.
sleeping room.
So,
I'm sorry. Yeah. That just...
Usually there's a bed in the sleeping room, and some people call it a bedroom. That, you know.
It just sounded really funny when you said it, because it reminded me a little bit of... I'm like, what are you, Greg Mendel?
No, my head
is Mendel or
so
Mendel?
Full
I'm just
going to
say Mendel. It's
words.
Mendel. I'm just saying Mendel.
A mental about Mendel. All
yeah,
right.
There you go.
So then now Rumpelstiltskin gets the power from the Blind Witch of seeing the future, and we touched on that.
We did. He basically said, "You think it's a curse? Great, give it to me."
Mm-hmm. And so. She started to kind of paint the whole picture of that meeting years later of Rumpel or Gold meeting his son.
Right.
And he said, a boy will lead you. And I did think of a scripture in the Bible that says a child will lead them. I just got the connection there.
Well, and the child reference in the Bible was the Savior,
right.
Which is... Emma, but Emma's a girl, but Emma's son.
Right.
So it's interesting.
And then she did kind of slide in, but he's not what he appears.
Right, exactly.
So
is it really going to be... She's referring to August.
Okay.
Think about it. Yeah, She's referring to August. Mm-hmm. She's not referring to Henry. She's referring to August. He's a boy who will not be what he appears to be.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
But we all assume he's referring to Henry. She's referring to Henry. Mm-hmm. She's not. And Gold's going to mistake it and think she's referring to Henry.
Yeah. And then that's when he says, well, you know, and then because he's not what appears for him to be. And then he said something about, well, then I'll kill him.
Then I'll have to kill him.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. He's going to try and kill Henry.
Yeah.
And then he's going to face Cora and Regina and Snow and Charming and Emma. And now we're going to see it's kind of like, it's almost like a kaleidoscope. Mm-hmm. Looking through a kaleidoscope, the pieces fall onto each other and create different patterns.
Right.
And so now we're seeing, I think we're going to see the kaleidoscope turn again, and the shift of patterns, the shift of the pieces is going to be where we're going to see different alignments based on now we're protecting Henry from Rumpelstiltskin. And what does he have to lose at this point? Because Bay is pretty upset with him, right? Henry is, he's going to blame Henry based on what he thinks he knows. And then it's going to, oh yeah. Oh my God. What I just also thought of, which was kind of interesting, is okay. So Rumpel got his ability to see the future from the Blind Witch,
right?
Which means he had no clue what was going on. He only had powers. So what other powers did he not have at that point in time?
Mm-hmm.
Did he learn other powers? Did he get other powers from other, you know, wizards and witches and things like that?
Well, you bring up a valid point, because the what we've known thus far is that if you kill someone with the dagger, you will get their power.
Right.
That's the only way we've known that power is transferred up to this point.
Right.
But now we know that power can be given.
Right.
If the other party is willing to relinquish it to you.
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
And that was real interesting. And by the way, holding her hands was the way he got it.
Right.
Which is where her eyes were.
Right.
So there's something to be, and you know what? Eye in the palm of the hand is, I'm just now thinking, I'm almost positive, have to look this up. It's something to do with the Hindu. There's a Hindu god or goddess, I believe.
I just thought about that too.
And that was very hippie, very 60s. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, I've seen, you know,
yes,
records and posters and things that mm-hmm. have that. So that's kind of an interesting thing.
A lot of Eastern and Middle Eastern-ish influences in the 60s with art and all that.
Right. Yeah. So that's an interesting thing. But yeah, I'm very curious to know. So he had the Dark One's power from before, which we knew when he got Zosos' power. But then he also got the power to see the future, which means what else did he get after the fact?
Mm-hmm.
Be interesting to see if he did get any other powers, like the power to heal. Was that one that he didn't have before? Maybe he got somewhere else, or was that part of Zosos? We don't know.
Good point. So, yes, that is our first thoughts about...
Well, that was the end of it?
Yeah.
Oh, alrighty then.
Yeah.
The preview for next week is, oh my gravy.
You can sidestep. I'm not even going to go into it. There's so much in it.
I'm going to say is, holy cow, if what we see is actually really there, that's going to make for some real interesting. And that's 2 weeks.
Right.
Not next Sunday,
Oscars
Sunday after.
Oscars are next Sunday.
Yes. So we will be another hiatus.
Yeah.
And then we'll have...
Hey, everybody. Before we go, I wanted to explain what I think would really help the podcast. And one of the things is if you're on Twitter, listen up. And I want to take you through two things that you can do that will really help. And if you know what a hashtag is, it's just a number sign. You've probably heard of a hashtag. Those can be used to reach a wider audience that is interested in a subject. So if you can create a tweet when you first begin to listen to this First Thoughts episode, so you can type in listening to hashtag once upon a time space, then you can do another hashtag Manhattan space hashtag First Thoughts, all one word, space from number sign OUAT podcast space, and then the link to the post about it. Now, I know I said a lot, but what I think is great about that is that you, when you tweet that out, you let not only your followers know, but then the followers that follow that hashtag for Once Upon a Time, for the episode name Manhattan, and that kind of thing. And then you can let everyone know, and it's free publicity to let people know that you're listening to our First Thoughts for our podcast. I really appreciate that. I'd also ask is when you're listening to it and it comes upon maybe a point or a theory that you really think is interesting or funny or whatever, then you can kind of do, you know, listening to hashtag once upon a time space hashtag Manhattan space hashtag First Thoughts, and love the love the theory about whatever. And so I'll put a couple of different ways that you can do that. But what I'm suggesting is when you're listening to it, we appreciate that. Thank you so much. But also use Twitter to kind of let everyone know that you are. So it's kind of a reminder to your followers. And if you use hashtags, it could be a bunch of other folks following as well. I appreciate all the retweeters. That also helps as well. I also appreciate folks that even before First Thoughts was out, that they were looking forward to the First Thoughts episode. I thank everybody for getting involved and using Twitter to kind of promote what we do here. I really appreciate it, and it really helps everything here. So thanks so much, and read through the show notes, and it'll give you some suggestions of how to tweet out, and I can even embed a tweet that I will tweet out myself, so you'll see it in action. Anyway, this got a little too long, but anyway, I wanted to kind of line it all out so you knew what I was talking about. So thanks so much. See ya. I want to send big love out to everybody. Thank you so much for downloading this, however you found this podcast. Thank you so much. And what do you think? Go ahead and tweet your what you think. Maybe if you're listening to First Thoughts and you think it's a great great point or great theory or something that you want to add, whatever, you can reply to us or retweet out that you're listening to the First Thoughts episode, and then what your feelings are about it. Or you can email, or you can leave a voicemail. So however you want to do that, that would be great. So big love out to everybody. Hopefully most people are off tomorrow.
Yeah.
Day off.
And for President's Day, yeah.
Yep. So thanks so much for listening, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.